Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we're still dealing with the matter of family Christianity, as it is referred to in the church covenant that we are studying. And the third paragraph says, we also engage to maintain family and secret devotions. And then the next phrase says, to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, obviously, though, bringing up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is not identical to having family devotions, I think you can see that the two are very closely linked together. There's certainly more to bringing up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord than simply having family worship, but it is mighty difficult to accomplish that task if we don't have family worship. And so even though family worship in the home may not be set forth in Scripture in exactly the way that we encourage it to be practiced today, and we don't want to become legalistic about it, the necessity of instructing our children in the home with the Word of God is not optional. That is commanded in the Word of God. So how are you going to do that? You've got to have some plan of action. You've got to have some format. You've got to have some way of doing it. It's like anything else. If you don't have a plan, then it doesn't get done. You say, well, I just look for opportunities as they arise naturally, and that's good. We ought to look for opportunities as they arise naturally. But that should be in addition to what you do on a planned and scheduled basis. It's kind of like attending church. If you only attend church when it just kind of, when you feel like it, when it arises naturally, then you're not going to be faithful in attendance, and you will be forsaking the assembling of the saints a great deal of the time. And so forth with anything that's worthwhile. You might say, well, the best way to witness is to witness when natural occasions present themselves. And I agree. I firmly agree. But again, if that's the only way you do it, it is very likely that weeks and months will go by without you doing anything. If you don't plan deliberately to do some witnessing for the Lord and have a plan of action as to how you're going to carry that out, then it is very likely that those natural occasions aren't going to arise very often. They may. It just all depends on how alert you are to them, but they're not likely to. It's too easy to let it slip away. And likewise with our children and with the necessity of teaching them in the home. I think we need to start with a foundation of family worship in the home and then go on from there to other opportunities as well. And so what we're talking about is family Christianity. We maintain family and secret devotions. Now, obviously, we've got to maintain our own hearts right with God, or we'll not be able to lead our families aright. But we've got to do both, family and secret devotions. The Bible reading schedule that I follow, and many people follow, has Bible reading divided up into family and secret Bible reading. It's a schedule that takes you through the Bible, the New Testament twice, the Old Testament once in a year's schedule, but it lays it out for two different times of Bible reading, one in a family gathering and one in a private setting. Some people divide it up into morning and evening and so forth. But family Christianity requires family worship. Now, please don't fall into the trap of pitting the family against the church, and I see some people doing that, as if in order to minister to your family, you're going to have to neglect the church. I don't believe that. I believe you can do both, and I believe you must do both. And I think when our heart is right and when we're attempting to honor the Lord, both our church and our family will be well served. And yet we are people who are prone to deceive ourselves, and we can so often pit one thing against another. We excuse one area of neglected duty by holding up another duty. So family's most important, so we will have our church at home with our family, and that will take care of both our family and our church responsibility. No, it won't. You have both responsibilities, but you can't take care of one by neglecting the other. You cannot do that. You cannot take care of one responsibility by neglecting another God-given responsibility. And the Bible still tells us, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. And the Bible makes it clear that Christians are to be involved in a local church. And the Bible concept of a local church was the church in your community. This idea that we'll just start our own so we can make it and shape it the way we want to, and it'll just be us in our home, or maybe us and one or two other families who have the same philosophy that we do, the same concept we do. That'll be our church. That's the way we worship God. That's the way we go to church. That's the way we minister to our family. That may be a wonderful way to minister to your family, but that does not satisfy the biblical requirements of involvement in your church. Who are your God-called, God-equipped, prepared, and recognized pastors? Who are your deacons? And many other aspects of the church that you just can't carry out that way. I'm sorry, but you just can't do it. And you can't call a home Bible fellowship a church. It's not. And if it's not, and it's never going to be, and you know that, then you know good and well this is not a church. I recognize that sometimes people find themselves in a community where there just seems to be no Bible-believing church. If you're in a remote area, some areas of the country, that may be true. And your only solution may be to start your own. Well, be sure that you are truly starting a church, not your own church. That's probably the wrong way to think about it. I'll just start my own. You don't own it. If you recognize the need in your community for a church, then ask God to help you to find some like-minded people and start a church. But don't be content until the church is a church. It is an organized church with recognized membership and recognized pastors and recognized deacons. It is a church fully functioning and organized as a church is supposed to be. And if it's not, it is not a church. I'm sorry, it is not a church. It may be a family Bible study, a home Bible study. That's good. Nothing wrong with that, but that can't replace the church. I remember as a grade school boy, my father leading home Bible studies in our home on a regular basis, but that wasn't a replacement for the church. That was in addition to the church. That was an outreach of the church into the community. That was the outreach of our family, but the outreach of our church as well. And a number of neighbors came to know the Lord and became involved in our church as a result of that. That wasn't in the place of church. That was in addition to church. It's a wonderful thing to do. I highly recommend it. But it's strange how we can justify neglecting something that the Bible tells us to do by trotting out something else that the Bible tells us to do. Sorry, you can't do that. But it is important that we not neglect the home. And that's the other side. Some people are very faithful to their church, but they are very, very shallow, very lacking in home worship, home religion. And dear friends, if Christianity is not nurtured and maintained in the home, it is not likely to be powerfully nurtured and maintained at church. Do you hear me? If Christianity is not nurtured and maintained in the home, it is not likely to be powerfully nurtured and maintained at church. For God has so constructed the family that there is a divinely ordained order that must be recognized and maintained for vital Christianity to flourish. Parents, and especially fathers, are to be teaching their children, and husbands are to be leading their wives, that is, teaching their wives. And there's no question that this arrangement is more under attack today than it ever has been. You can be sure that sin and the devil are fighting against this, but you can also be sure that God honors this. And that's why it's more important than ever to establish God's order in the home. And family devotions is one of the best ways to keep vital Christianity vital, living, energized in your home. Family devotions. So have them together when it's just a couple. Have them when you have children, the whole family. Have them whenever possible, led by the father, the husband. And if he's not there, then the mother should do so in his absence. Involve your family, but follow God's order. It's so vitally, vitally important. Schedule this daily, if at all possible. And I'm not talking about something that's legalistic, but schedule it daily. Now, there are those, of course, who work out of town, and they're not home every day. So when that's the case, then have significant times when you are home. But do it. Do it. Maintain family devotions. Because what you are going to accomplish is a home that is centered around God and His Word. And that's our goal. Our goal is to please the Lord. Our goal is to make sure that our homes are little centers of influence for God and places where God is honored. We don't want a Sunday morning only religion. We want a 7 day a week religion. And so the father's going to have to become the spiritual leader and teacher in his home. And biblical worship instruction needs to be carried out on a family as well as a personal level. And the needs of the individuals in the family need to be observed and addressed in family devotions. And family goals and burdens need to be discussed and prayed for and rejoiced over. I prayed for this and look what the Lord has done. What a wonderful way to teach our children. Look what God did in answering prayer. Having these times together is kind of like synchronizing our clocks, getting everybody on the same page, pulling everybody together. What should I do if there is no husband, or if the husband's unwilling to lead? Well, then the mother should go ahead in the absence of the father. But certainly don't usurp his place when he is present. But if he's absent, then you take the lead and you take the responsibility. You be a mother like Timothy's mother, a grandmother like Timothy's grandmother, who will teach young Timothy in the home. You do that with your children. What if the father is willing, but the wife is unwilling? Well, press ahead, dear father, faithfully and persistently, wisely, the best you can, with the children. There are a few wives that will openly oppose this, even if they're not willing to cooperate with it. If they won't, just bypass the wife and go ahead with the children. You still have a responsibility before God. Do it with the right attitude, and God will no doubt richly bless you for so doing. May God help us. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.